you say, that basically was your life before you got saved. Amen. You were doing a lot when you were unsaved for the world, for yourself. Okay, let's keep reading. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So let's keep going with the thought. I was and you were serving the world. We're serving our own lusts, what we want, what we desire. This is what I want. Be careful as a Christian when you don't get to, well, I don't get what I want. I want to do this. I want. Be careful with that. The Bible says die to self. But we used to be that way. Well, Jesus came and saved us. He said, now listen, to get saved, you don't need anything. I'll take care of it. You just got to believe what I did. You got to trust in what I did, and it, you get salvation. Let's keep reading. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Stop again. Let's wait for a second. So we used to serve the world, serve our own lust. He says, to become my children, you don't need to work at all. Done. To get to heaven, don't need to work one bit. Done. I'll save you through my grace and your faith. I'll take you to your inheritance in heaven. So why do I need to work? Just keep reading. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Not unto God. God doesn't need our works. What is God? Have you ever, anybody ever tried to dunk a basketball and failed? Okay. So one time I had a guy 6'5". This is when I was younger and I had more than a 12-inch vertical leap. But I think the highest I got was 2 foot. But this, I was about a 2 foot. But you add 2 foot to 5'8". He ain't there yet at a 10-foot basketball net. So he goes, you can't dunk the ball. So I ran as hard as I could. I jumped up, grabbed the net as high up as I could, pulled myself up and slammed it down. I went, yes, I can. He goes, that's not dunking. Here's dunking. He goes up there and back. In other words, I couldn't impress that 6'5" guy with my basketball skills. Now, that's guy better in sports than you. Can you imagine us trying to impress God with our good works? We have people in this world that actually believe they're impressing God with their good works. Well, I'm in faith. There's an old song about a Sunday school pen, and he was so proud of his 10 years of not missing a Sunday that one he was wearing his Sunday school pen and he just kept adding them on. Instead of just taking the new one, he added them on and he had them all the way down to the ground. And he tripped over his Sunday school pen and broke his leg and he couldn't make his service. So he missed service because of his Sunday school pen collection. I had a preacher of me trying to tell me how many people he led to Christ in his life. I said, you actually keep tally? He goes, yeah. I said, really? I said, I may do it in a year. I may have a goal. Like, I have a goal to try to win 10 people to the Lord every year. I don't always make it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I try to. But I don't have a tally. I don't go to bed, oh, Lord, I have nine people. It's the 28th of December. Help me out. Now, we don't impress God with our good works, but it is profitable unto men. Your good works helps your brother and sister in Christ. It helps the work of Christ go on because it encourages others to keep working. Amen? We're out there with those rocks. There wasn't anybody sitting around doing nothing. Everybody grabbed a rock. Even little Landon. He's getting bigger though. Gavin's catching him. You know, but anyway, he was enjoying it. I think he put 4 or 5 of them up there. He was even putting ones on the wall that don't go on the wall. He's just grabbing a rock. No, he's doing really good. I'm just saying it's encouraging to see good work. Okay, so let's look at this, if you would, please. How do we do this? Okay, first of all, go to 2 Timothy and just back up a little bit. And I got the titles on here, so it makes it easy. But the first one, if you would, please, it says in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, would you say a disciple? Would you say a disciple of the Lord? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the first thing that we should do is study the Bible. We need to search, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to search the scriptures. Study. How do we study today? Come on, tell me how you study today. Google it. Give me some reasons that's not very good, smart. Dennis? You get wrong versions of the Bible, okay. Now, I'm just talking about, and that's good, but I'm talking about just general searching Google, okay. First of all, you get the wrong version of the Bible, okay. Okay, very liberally bent. Yeah, it means unbiblical truths, or whatever they call them. Oh, okay, that's good too. That's good. You got to be careful because that humans wrote Google. God wrote the Bible. Okay, we got to be careful searching Google. Here's the worst thing about Googling it. You don't have the practice of study and research, which is very important. It works our minds. My son Brad keeps. I've never seen it. Maybe I need to see it one day. A movie called WALL-E. Yeah. So you've seen it. I have never seen it. So I'll just go by what he said. Is it's just basically what's going on today. We're being fed all this info. We're getting all of our needs, and while nothing's going on, the world's falling apart. And as long as we get fed our needs of video games or information, man. We had it in school all the time. We have a big old library there. And I had a kid while I was teaching raise his hand and say, how do you spell acknowledge? Acknowledge. I'm going. And it was on his homework. I went, acknowledge. Does it have an A? I think there's an O in there and a W, but I can't remember. I don't remember. It's been too long since I've been in school. Why don't you go over there to the library, get a dictionary, look it up. I have to go all the way over there. 10 feet and grab a book and look under A, not M, A. Oh, that's horrible. He didn't even know he came from public school and didn't even know how to use a dictionary. I said, look at the top of the page. You find A. Look at the top. It'll give you the first and the last word of that page. Oh. He wanted just to Google it. He wanted to Google it, we'll pastor it. Just get the teacher to tell me what it is. No. Study. Amen. Search. We need to search. One of the things I suggest that you get would help you out is called a Strong's Concordance. Get yourself a Strong's Concordance is good too. A Strong's, the only thing difference between a Strong's and a Concordance is Strong's is exhaustive. They took every word of the Bible. Every word and told you every reference of that word in the Bible. So it can help you out. Crudence doesn't have every word, but the Strong's has every word. And I think you could get one for $15 or less at a bookstore. And you say, well, why don't I Google it? Why? Could be the wrong translation. Man did Google. And they'll go to a Strong's. Are you sure? Better be careful. Anybody remember Dave Upham? Dave Upham got up there and preached his first preaching on a Wednesday night, and he started reading the verses, and I had to stop him after one verse. You're not reading from the King James. He says, I Googled it. This is King James 1611, and it was not. Anybody in the church looking around, anybody was looking at me, wanted to know when I was going to get up and make him shut up. So I just walked up with my Bible and set up and start reading it from there. I Googled it. It said King James 1611. And I've had people come up and say, look what Google is showing King James Bible is. It could change. Don't get away from the written word. Amen. Find you a good Bible and stick with it. Amen? Search. The second thing is found, if you would please, in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, if you would please. Book of Joshua. One of the things good about studying the Bible also is you find where things are at. It's always better if you can find... how many of you remember when you first came to church or first started reading your Bible and it would say Genesis and you'd look in the context and it'd say page one? Yeah, that's embarrassing. Especially in church, you could see you're going, you could see people doing this and then you go, oh. Or Matthew. So it's Matthew. John. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Come on, amen. 1st, 2nd Corinthians. You might keep going. No, Galatians. Well, anyway, so let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, here's the next word, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, so the next one is meditate. Well, first of all, let me give you a little idea why meditating on it, and it tells us here, is important. Anybody ever been on a job site, or tell me a situation, you're on a job site, and all of a sudden you're getting kind of rebuked by your boss because you're not doing something right. Anybody ever have that happen? Yep. Okay, why? Okay, well, that's a good reason being chewed out. Okay, hey, he admitted it. How many don't admit it when they're getting chewed out? And go, what?
They changed the rules.
Okay, they changed the rules. That's good. This is good. You guys are doing exactly what I wanted you to do. Okay, anybody else? Nobody else got chewed out. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sometimes the method or the way is taught. Okay, so that's. You've been chewed out a lot, haven't you? Maybe there's a problem here. Go ahead. Exactly, but they forgot what they told you? Okay. So that's why the Lord says, meditate on the Word of God. Are we looking to get Jesus' pleasure? Are we looking for when He sees us, He's happy to see us? Well, I don't know about you. I have 7 children, and there's been times some of the children came in I didn't want to look at because I was upset with them. Why was I upset with them? I told them to do something a certain way, and they did it completely opposite. I told them to do something and then changed my mind. No, I probably did that before. Or another kid. All I'm saying is this, or they didn't do it the way I wanted them to do it. So let's meditate and make sure that when we are coming through life, now let's be honest, each and every one of us, as we've grown in the Lord, find out, oops,
yep. Amen.
Doing that wrong.
Yeah.
Amen? That's why the Lord uses the word repent. It calls every man everywhere to repent. Even Christians need to stop and go, whoa,
yeah. Yeah.
Oops, my bad. Turn around, do it right. Amen? The unrepentant keeps going the bad way. I think I've told this before, but I had a man in our church. If you've heard it before, just say amen and laugh or whatever. Man in our church, 40-something years. I asked him, I said, who taught you construction? He goes, I did. I did myself. I taught myself. I learned by trial and error. I said, okay. I'm building this house. I said, how tall you want your house? Because he gave me 8-foot studs. I said, how tall you want your studs? How long you want your studs? And he says, 88 and 5/8. And I looked at him like, why 88 and 5/8 when a normal stud is 92 and 5/8? Because you take 92 and 5/8 and add 4.5, you get 8'1.5", which with carpet and pad and sheetrock makes an 8-foot ceiling. Okay? And that's been common ever since I've been in construction. I said, why 88 and 5/8? He goes, so I can have the soffit, my 2-foot soffit at a 412, end up 3.5 inches above my windows so I can have a 1x4. I don't want it any... And I looked at him, I says, so, why 88 and 5/8? He goes, because you have to cut it down 4 inches to make that happen. I go, nope. He goes, what? So I showed him on a piece of plywood. I drew the whole wall out as an architect would. I said, the height or the distance from the top of the wall to the window doesn't change on the length of the stud. He goes, really? No. It has to do with the pitch and the size of the soffit. Really? I've been cutting my studs all these 40 years and didn't need to. Yep. And all those houses I went into, I'm going, have you ever been in a house and it's shorter? You're going, yeah. Like, I go from a regular house to a modular home and I'm going like this. And I'm only 5'8". And I'm ducking because I feel the windows, there's only that much room above the window instead of 10 inches, is only 6. And you're going, and I'm going to this house doing that. That's why most of your modulars are vaulted. Because if they went flat, you'd be walking like this in the kitchen. But he goes, you're kidding me. You know what he told me? Well, I've been doing it for 40 years. I'll just keep doing it. Now, that's called stupid. And I told him, not this house. If you want me to build it, I'm putting 92 5/8 studs. And he goes, okay. You know, and it's just crazy. Listen, we should meditate. What does the word meditate mean?
Chew on.
Chew on. You know what it really is? Point to a cow. How many stomachs does a cow have? I heard 4, I heard 5. Whatever. They eat more than we eat, and they keep eating. They'll take a bite, chew it up, go into one stomach, bring it back up, chew it up, put it in the next. I like a septic system. That's probably where they got a septic system idea. By the time he comes out, that brown cow eating green grass going through 4 stomachs comes out white milk. That's how it turns white. You got to have 4 stomachs. That's called chewing on it. We used to say that. Chew on that a while. Used to be a statement. You give them a statement. Somebody's not listening to you. You say, okay, I'll say it again, then chew on that a while. Meditate. What do we normally meditate on? Television?
Problems.
We mull over them a lot, don't we? Chew on them a lot. Problems? Hurts? It's amazing to me, people I know over the last year, we'll be talking about this in the 27th a little bit, over the last year, people in the church have been mulling over and meditating on hurts done to them. We just want to just hang on to them things. Just bring them back up, chew on. You know what? That hot dog don't taste the same the second time. Amen. Chili's terrible. Especially if you had Pepsi with it. Just comes out of the nose. That's nah. That is gross and it burns. And that's a problem. When we get hurt, we just keep chewing and mulling on that hurt. We need to throw that stuff up, get out of it, start meditating on the Word of God. Amen. And we need to do that more. Why? It affects our works. And we better know what we're supposed to do and how we do it. Come on, amen. That's why the Lord says, bring into captivity everything that is against the knowledge of Christ. Yes. If that thing you're mulling over is against Christ, get rid of it. Yeah. Amen? Okay, let's see the next one, if you would please. Proverbs. You're in Joshua. Go past Psalm and go to Proverbs 13. Sorry for that. Proverbs 13. Look down at verse 13. Proverbs 13:13. So we're talking about studying the Word of God. Study with mind alert, carefully and with prayer, expectantly and with anticipation in a spirit of enjoyment, and eager to respond full inwardly, seeking a personal message, repeating aloud verses which strike fire, keeping the definite time each and every day for reading your Bible. Copy out key verses to carry with you for reading through the day. You know, it's not a bad thing to have a piece of paper next to you. Come on, amen? That you, and a pen, that if something comes up while you're reading your Bible, pin it down. Get back to reading. Get back to that later, amen? Get back to eating, and it'll be a blessing to you. Chapter 13, verse 13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So we need to fear them. And I realize that today, there are so much falsehood out there, so many preachers and teachers that have smooth words, a lot smoother than me, more net titles to their name and initials after their name than I do. I had a preacher once say, why haven't you got your bachelor's degree? And so finally I got a hold of a college in Louisiana, and I asked him, I says, here's my credentials. What do I need to do to get my bachelor's? He said, bachelor's? All you need to do is send us $2,000, a copy of your credentials, and do one assignment, basically, a paper, about a two-page paper on a certain subject, and they would pick the subject, and you would be a doctorate in theology. Have a doctorate in theology. And I says, $2,000, right? He goes, yep, I ain't buying my doctorate. I'll just have a doctorate according to Jesus. Amen. Like Spurgeon says, I don't need to be ordained. I've been ordained by God. When I do weddings, I am an ordained preacher, but when I do weddings, I don't do it in the authority of the state of Washington. I do it in the authority of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave me the authority to do that. I am not even a licensed pastor in Washington. I am not going to get licensed to preach. Baptists got thrown in jail in the 1600s and 1700s because they were the only ones, preachers, that would not get licensed to preach. The state is not going to give me permission to preach. Amen. You know, you may have a business, you have to get a license, but I am not getting licensed to preach. They asked me if I wanted a license in the state of Washington. I says, are you kidding me? Come on, amen? I did not, and I'm not going to. We need to fear them. We need to fear the Word of God. Here's what's going on today. Stay with me, please, and I know this may sound a little weird. What do parents do today when kids disobey them? What do parents do today when children disobey them? Stacy. I'm sorry? Okay, take away their video games. They punish them with video games. Okay. Take away their phone.
Redirect.
Okay.
A lot of times nothing.
Dennis? Timeouts. Okay, man, I would be spending a lot of time when I was a kid. Come on, I'm going to give you guys a relief from all of that junk, but I would have spent a lot of time out. Kind of like that guy that was 88 and he'd been married for 60 years. And they said, what do you attribute to your good health? And he goes, well, it's very easy. If my wife and I ever got in an argument, I'd get my cane and my hat or my hat and I'd go on a walk. I spent a lot of years outside. So, Kenny, you had one?
Yeah.
Okay. All of them are wrong. Every one of those are wrong. Every one of them is unbiblical. I'll give you a better out. Spank them. Yeah. On the deer ear, there's a connection there from the deer ear to the brain. And in between's the heart. On the way back, the heart will go, I ain't doing that again. But you say, preacher, that's called beating them. Well, the Bible says beat them. Don't let them, the blueness of the womb or a wound, or they're crying, keep you from doing it. And we've gotten to a day and age that we're listening to Oprah, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Spock instead of the Word of God. And that we don't spank our children anymore. Come on. And they have been spanked for two generations. Some of you sitting here, I asked a young lady the other day that was 35. Have you ever, and she was being a brat, have you ever been spanked? She goes, not in my life. I said, you mean to tell me from the time you were born till today, you've never done something wrong? Well, yeah, but my parents just had a talk with me or they took something away. We don't spank. I've watched you parents. It drives me nuts watching you parents and your kids. Your kids are brats. And you just go, stop. in the bathroom. Sit right there, amen. That's what my dad would have done. Of course, he'd have pulled off his 36 and a half belt first. Because you don't use your hands. Hands are made for loving and guidance. The belt or the paddle or the Bible calls rod. Spare not the rod. What were you, Cheryl? Oh, my lands. Now, you'll get where I'm going here. But this is the problem, is today we have children, now listen to me very carefully, that do not fear their parents. Well, I need, go ahead. Did she go to the school and spank the teacher? Paul?
Yeah, the neighbor.
Be nice.
Yeah, the neighbor said, because he was crying so bad,
I didn't mean to start a family feud here. But it is true. I went to court and stood up in court for a dad that spanked his daughter with two swats on the rear end with a paddle. And mom, stepmom, no, it was mom. He was remarried. Her mom found out about it and took him to court. He spent 5 days in jail for beating his child by two swats on the rear end. So I stood up, and the judge Porter, which I vote against every time, and praise the Lord, he's not a judge anymore, I don't think. But I stood up and said, you're wrong. As you call yourself a Christian, Christian says that I'm not supposed to spare the rod. He goes, well, that was Old Testament time. Good for you to say that. When did Jesus change that? Man changed it. Jesus didn't. Come on, amen. Never did. You say, why are you saying this? Parents, if your kids don't fear you, how are they going to fear God? Am I right? How can you say you hate your brother whom you can see and love your God whom you cannot see? How can you not fear your mom and dad who you see and say you can fear God? We have kids today that, young adults now, that I'm having a problem teaching them, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, I know the Bible says, and I know I should do it, and walk away. I'm there. Whoa, you're going against God's word. Yeah. What? When I was a kid, if my brother said, you know, dad said, don't do that, I'd go, come on, what is it going to cost to get you not to tell him? Yeah. Am I right? Why? Because I knew dad had a 36 belt and I had a 20-inch waist. So when he hits me here, it goes around, hits me on the other side. I said, dad, that's not fair. Double that up. That was a stupid thing to say. Because then he got mad, doubled it up, swung harder. And that double, that hurt worse.
And the punishment
would
probably apply also generates respect.
Respect comes out. Fear has to be first. If you're not afraid, there will be no respect, and then there will be no love. So you cannot say, I love your parent if you don't obey them. Right. You can't say, I love you, dad and mom, if you don't obey him. We had children that way. Always say, I love you, and they didn't obey. And that you don't obey. We didn't feel like they loved us if they didn't obey us. Same thing with our God. I say that on this with this thought. Start teaching your children, some of you that still have children at home, and some of them that moved back, so start spanking him some more. Just this time, Paul, don't cry so loud that the neighbors hear you. He's the... I might now. I'm going to now. Oh, boy. But what I'm trying to say is, listen, We have a living God. We don't have a God that we can just pick up and move around and do whatever we want to him. We have actually a living God. And not only a living God, we have a God that wrote a book for us. And I don't know about you, but I praise the Lord he gave us the rules. He didn't just make them up as he goes along. He gave them to us and he hasn't changed them. Man wants to change them. That's why all these new versions, they want to change them. They want to move words around and phrases around and commas and semicolons around so they can change the Word of God to make it more palatable to, for us human beings. Yeah. Why don't we just read it, study it, maintain it, meditate on it, but be afraid of disobeying it. Now, praise God we have a merciful God, don't we? Yeah. Anybody here ever not do what God said? Yesterday? Come on. Aren't you, you're still alive. We don't have a God that's just up there in heaven going. Now, the Bible even talks about that. Men do it for pleasure. I'm just going to be honest. As a father, there are many times I took pleasure spanking my children. I did not like the results sometimes because they'd get mad at me at first. Now, praise the Lord, over the years, all of them have written me letters. I got them downstairs. It's upstairs in my office in my room. I got a box about this big of notes and letters my children gave, said, thank you for disciplining me. Thank you for keeping me on the straight and narrow. Thank you for being consistent. So let's remember, we have a God in heaven that is consistent, more consistent than I am, more fair, more just. Come on, amen. More righteous. His rules are better than mine. Even though I try to follow his was better than mine. Let's stay with a fear of God. Amen. Excuse me, in a fear of his word. Someone says, how to make the best use of your Bible? Read it through, pray it in, work it out, note it down, and pass it on. Best way thing to do with our Bibles. What's the first work we should be concentrating on? First action when it comes to being a dynamic disciple? Study. Study the Word. Study other people. Come on, amen. Let's be studiers, students of the Word of God, students of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the interaction with the folks. I pray that we will grow. May you help each and every one of us, because all of us need it. All of us need help. All of us need guidance. All of us need protection. We need strength. Help us to do. Reach out for the Word of God. Get counsel if needed, watch people, whatever, but mainly that we stay true to your work and your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank